Welcome back to Sound Medicine. I'm Barbara Lewis. Going to medical school, as you probably know, is a grind. It's hard to find time to sleep and to eat, much less get good exercise. But my next guest found the time and then some. We'll let her explain what happened next. Dr. Susanna Carter, welcome to Sound Medicine. It is good to talk with you.
Thank you so much. I'm honored to be invited to talk.
Well, you ran your first Ironman triathlon during your medical residency?
I sure did.
Because you weren't busy enough?
Exactly. I had some extra time on my hands. No, I sure did. I was getting into something I didn't know, which is probably ignorance is bliss, right? It was probably best.
Right. Well, let's inform our listeners here about those who aren't familiar with the Ironman. Can you tell us exactly what that race requires you to do?
Yes, it is a long-distance triathlon that is composed of a 2.4-mile open water swim, 112-mile bicycle ride, and then a full marathon, 26.2-mile run, all in succession.
Oh my gosh. So have you been an athlete all your life?
I really have in some form or another. I started off very young swimming and then went through the whole team sport phase, soccer, basketball, and really began doing individual things like running and cycling later in college.
Okay, so a lot of us say we don't have time to work out, but here you are as doing your residency and you are able to train for this. What was that like? I mean, how did you fit in the training for it?
It was intense, as it is in any stage in life training for one of those. But I don't know. I think I was a little bit the black sheep or the odd man out in residency. I sort of had this die-hard need to take care of myself, and taking care of myself for me was exercise. And I just found a lot of joy in being out on the bike after being cooped up in the hospital for long hours. And I had always loved swimming. You know, it was just sort of a natural thing for me to do to take care of myself. And, residents as a whole, you're sort of in survival mode. So a lot of us don't take care of ourselves during that time. And I don't know if I was born with it or what, but I was pretty bent on getting my exercise and just knew the right people to get me into triathlon.
Mm-hmm. Well, the first time you attended an Ironman competition, you were a spectator, and the enthusiasm you saw at the starting line really stuck with you. Can you describe the sorts of people you find at these events?
Absolutely. It was a life-changing moment. The end of these, you have 17 hours to complete it. So the finish line, by the end of that 17 hours, it's at midnight, and it's packed with people, fans, people who finished, family. And the announcer's got a lot of energy, and he's calling everybody across the line. And I just sat back and watched people come through. And these, of course, were the people that have been out there the longest. And I saw 70-year-olds, 80-year-olds, people with prosthetic limbs, young people, just people sort of defying those messages in our culture of too young or too ill or too this or that to get out and really do something amazing.
Yeah. Well, what prompted you to leave the medical profession fairly early in your career? You were an OBGYN and you became a health and wellness coach.
I did. And I think there's just a theme that runs through it. I realized that in my practice, I just sort of was feeling off purpose. I think all along I was sort of fighting this need to take care of myself and really live a healthy lifestyle, and I found that to challenge with the hours and the stress of medicine. But I also found that my patients, whom I love dearly, even though I was there doing pap smears and mammograms and useful things that we need, I was feeling off purpose because so many of them were overweight, sedentary, depressed, had diabetes, all these things that I felt like, these folks really need a lifestyle change. And I felt very passionate about the way I was living my own life and wanted to share that.
Mm-hmm. So you started a website called Project 150. What does that number have to do with exercise?
Yes. I read the text put out by the American College of Sports Medicine called Exercise is Medicine, and a whole sort of world opened to me. It's a text that sort of calls upon physicians to really take the prescription of exercise for patients seriously, that instead of giving out pills, we also need to be encouraging them to exercise to prevent disease and also to fight disease. And 150 minutes is currently what they recommend that each of us get weekly in exercise. And almost nobody does this.
Right, but you do. So at what point do you already hit the 150-minute mark?
Woo, sometimes by Monday afternoon. I would say You know, some of my workouts are 2.5 hours, so I could get that on any given day. But most of the time, you know, Tuesday or Wednesday, I've already gotten in my 150 minutes.
Okay, so for the rest of us, though, I mean, finding 2.5 hours of physical activity can be difficult, it can be time-consuming, it can be challenging. You know, I mean, I guess name your synonym for unpleasant, you know, for the rest of us. How could people shift their attitudes toward exercise so it becomes more enjoyable and something we may one day achieve by Monday afternoon?
Well, it's a great question. And what I've found is that there isn't time in practice as a physician just sitting there trying to do all the things that I'm supposed to do to really talk to people. And because it's a psychological shift, it's a shift in thinking of how do I want to live my life? What do I want for my health? And how intentional am I going to be about getting that? And that takes time to talk to people about and really pull it out of them. You know, do you value this? Do you see it worth changing some things in your life to really optimize your health? And, you know, spending time with people, having meaningful conversations, letting them really talk and tell me what it is they want. And then we collaborate and find a way to fit it into their lives. It becomes something they're really engaged in, and I think that's the key, is getting people fully engaged in their health. They got to take that step towards me, and I'm going to take a step towards them, and we're going to do it together.
Mm-hmm. Now, it seems like if people have come to you, I mean, they're really trying to make that change. So you already have somebody that's motivated?
Yeah, to some degree. They may be a little scared. They may have a lot of fear about their abilities to do it. They may have all of those things that you mentioned, sort of the schedule that is unrelenting, and you know, kids and no time. But there's something in them that brought them to me to begin with. So that's what we really focus on. And, you know, they've gotten to the point where they feel like they have to do something. And they value their health enough. So there is that piece that they have to bring.
You know, for people wanting to lose weight or maintain their weight, even 150 minutes a week may not be enough. I know the American College of Sports Medicine is recommending 250 minutes or more. How realistic or, you know, how can busy people fit that into their weekly schedule?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And, you know, 150 minutes is the absolute minimum sort of for health, you know, to get your heart functioning well and your blood pumping. So it's true. It's this minimum amount that we need. And beyond that is really what is where weight loss and, you know, coming off of medications occurs. It's tough, but I'll tell you, when I see the statistics on how much television people watch, it's something like the average kid is watching 1,500 minutes of TV in a week. So 150 or 250 really pales in comparison. And I find, you know, talking to people, we can carve out some time. If you can carve out time for checking out, you know, numbing out watching TV, we can find you 30 to 45 minutes where you can, you know, you can exercise. And it, like I said, it's not going to magically happen. I think when people try to keep their priority list the same and lose weight, that's why they fail. They got to reset that priority list a little bit, and they got to put their health at the top now instead of, you know, perhaps not even on the list.
So for people who don't maybe want to go to the extreme of a triathlon, a 17-hour Ironman, what are some of the smaller challenges that they can create? I mean, when you're working with somebody and you're first trying to figure out what it is that motivates them, what do you recommend?
And that's also great because I surely don't think everybody should be out there doing Ironman. It's kind of funny. You know, I just want people to do the minimum to start there. I try to work on building confidence over time with small successes. And it's the same way that I train. I didn't start out being a triathlete and bam, I was great at it. I had to start small and build the time I spent on it and build the intensity into my workouts. And so for people starting out, perhaps they've been sedentary their whole lives, we start with really simple goals of this week. I want you to just get outside and move your body for 5 to 10 minutes every morning and tell me what that feels like. You know, be fully present while you're doing it. Check in with your muscles. You know, let's work on it becoming a habit for you before we worry about how long you're doing it or how intense you're doing it. Mm-hmm. And people get confidence. They think, wow, I can do this. You know, I may have only done 35 minutes this week, but that's 35 more minutes than I've exercised in the past 3 months.
For your clients, on average, are they people who are already pretty motivated and want to get more, or are they people like that example that you just gave?
I have a variety, I would say. I have some people who have already taken some initiatives, and maybe they're meeting a trainer already a couple times a week. But I have one person in mind that, you know, hadn't exercised literally in about 5-6 years. Another one actually said it had been since his college days, and he's in his late 50s. So I have, you know, I have a variety. I have some who are already a little bit active, and others who really just haven't been, but they are motivated for change.
Can you tell who's going to succeed and who might not?
Well, I'm learning, certainly learning all the time. I find that people who, I don't know, I guess I call them all in, who are all in, they're fully engaged in the project. And that's what I try to talk to him about in the beginning. We're not going to just try to slap on this little exercise, weight loss, nutrition goal on the side of your already busy life. We're going to start working on changing your life to really prioritize these things, kind of fully engage in this. Those people that meet with me weekly bring a food log weekly. They sit down. They want to go over it. They email me when they have a setback because they want motivation. When they're all in like that and fully engaged, they do amazing.
Dr. Susanna Carter, thank you so much for talking with me. It's really been a pleasure.
Oh, thank you. I'm honored to be asked. I appreciate it.
Dr. Susanna Carter is a health and wellness coach in Birmingham, Alabama. We'll post a link to her project150.com on our website. Just go to soundmedicine.org.